And oftentimes that's what we see as well. We see inflation, which leads to a form of stagflation or a worsening economy, which then is sort of creates its own death spiral. And it goes like that for a while until something really breaks and then things can reset. And either inflation comes down or the economy at least gets to a place where it bottoms out. But that can be a long way down.
We have to have a nice tight show today and be done by 3 o'clock my time, because I have a tea time at 4 o'clock. So
I'll try to keep it on path on that one.
Welcome back to View from Above, Garrett Lill and John Berger, founder and CEO, I suppose. What do you call yourself? Do you call yourself CEO or just founder?
Yeah,
or?
I call myself the CEO, and a lot of the work we do is fractional CFO work. So I'm kind of the chief cook, bottle washer, guy who does everything.
Yeah, chief everything officer, I believe, is the way that's worded.
That's it. Isn't that what the CEO is?
That's what I thought. Yeah. So, well, welcome back. Altus Wealth Solutions in San Luis Obispo, California. It took me a little while to nail that. I kept wanting to call it San Luis, and you finally, about 7 corrections, I finally learned it's San Luis Obispo, California. Well, pleasure as always. We were talking on the last show about the effect interest rates have on business owners, and a very closely related topic to that that has very different implications is the effect inflation has. And what I mean by that, as we were talking about a minute ago, interest rates are often going to be, they're going to be dictated by a few different factors, but one of the key factors is going to be inflation expectations. So when we're expecting high inflation, or in, you know, economies that are experiencing high inflation, you're going to see higher interest rates because mm-hmm. cost of goods in the future are going to be more expensive. But they don't have the same effect on business owners. If you're not borrowing money or lending money, you don't really care what interest rates are, whether you're a consumer or a business owner. But
true.
The impact, and it goes both ways, really. In future inflation expectations will affect bond prices, but also bond prices, interest rates, and just monetary policy in general will affect inflation. So they're closely related. They're first cousins. They may not necessarily be siblings, but you, as a business owner, you have to, the impact that one is going to have is not the same that another is going to have. So as a right. business owner, some businesses are going to be hit a lot more heavily by inflation than others. Some businesses could care less what inflation is, right? It really depends on your margins and your business and your sector. So I just wanted to chat today, I guess, about how that factors into your strategy with business owners when you're doing your fractional CFO work or you're doing business consulting. How much emphasis, I guess, do you put on inflation in terms of building business strategy?
Well, it's still pretty important. It is. It's part of the stew that is the environment that their clients or business owners are weaving their way through. So how we do it, first step is to acknowledge that it's there and it is part of the mix. And then to first step is always to analyze this, like, well, how much is that going to affect you as a business versus some other business? So like some businesses, and we were talking about this before, have great margins. And so inflation probably isn't going to have quite so much of a factor on them, at least not in the initial phase of it. It will have secondary effects because inflation affects the economy, and the economy may be something that affects your business, or inflation can affect interest rates, and interest rates could affect your business. So, I mean, it is all part of that same stew. But so the first step is to see if, at least at an initial level, how sensitive are you going to be to inflation factors in your business? And it's just back to the primary assessment we do with every business owner is know what levers you have, what levers you can pull, and then understand if you pull the lever, what is likely to happen when that happens, when you pull on that lever. That way you are able to be more nimble and more what I call bob and weave capable should the environment change. is because you know the levers you have and you know how you can work your way through that. If you don't know what those levers are, it's like it would be like trying to drive a car or a boat and not have any clue what anything in front of you does. You know, that thing you hang on to with your hands, what does that do? And if you haven't practiced at it a little bit, it's a lot more difficult to know what it will do. And the thought is just like you can yank on it really hard. And if you're going too fast, that's the end of that, and you're done. Just to work that analogy out. So the first step for every business is understand what levers you have, what they will do, or if they're likely to do, and how much control you have over that. And part of that, and when we go back into looking at inflation, is how sensitive are you to it? And then if you are sensitive to it, even the primary effect, what levers do you have to manage it? So the scenario we were talking about earlier, let's say your profit margins aren't massive. Let's say your profit margins are, and for a lot of businesses, you know, good profit margin really is gross profit margin is going to be 30% of revenue. And that's before expenses. It depends on your labor, how much labor you have and how much you have in hard fixed costs. But let's say that overall, after you've factored in your fixed cost and your labor, your profit margin for your business is 8 or 9%. You're running on pretty thin margins there, right? And if your costs are a significant portion of your factor costs, the ones that are variable with sales, so the costs that are associated with inventory or something like that, if they are a significant portion of that margin and they go up 5%, your margin may go down 3, 4, or even 5% if it's mostly a product that you're selling. And that's going to be a huge hit on thin margins. So you are going to have to pass that along. But then again, if it's going to be a huge hit, whatever it is, a significant hit relative to what your profits are, what other things, what levers can you pull? What things can you do? Do you raise prices on your customers? That's going to have some adverse effects down the line. They may or they may not buy less. But there are other things you might be able to do. You may want to eat the cost temporarily and market the fact that you're eating these costs temporarily, because that can build a longer level of allegiance. It's really saying, if this happens, what should we do strategically, and what would be the likely result of doing that? That way, as you go through that process and you are dealing with inflation in this case, you have some a game plan, and you have some idea. If I this is what I'm going to do, this is my expectation of the result that would happen, the expectation in the short run over the 4 to 12, 13 weeks, I'm watching the cash flows. And then this is the longer term a game plan, and have metrics so that as you're going through it, you can go, yeah, this is working like I thought. Or sometimes it happens, it's like, this is not working anything like we anticipated. We need to sit down and re-strategize because this isn't going the way we thought it would. And to me, that's a much better way to run a business, at least, even if it's failing, your strategy is.
I'm much more familiar with the latter of those scenarios. I have a lot of experience with saying this did not go the way I expected it to go.
But still, you had strategies going in, and at least you knew that it wasn't going the way you wanted it to. And I think that's the big lesson that we're trying to share here, is that the alternative to that is you don't have a strategy, and basically you go home every night at the end of the day and just feel like somebody's been hitting you over the head, and you have no idea where the bat's coming from. It's just like, well, I got bloodied up again today, and I have no idea what to do with it. I'm just gonna, I guess, sit and take it. And that's no way to run a business.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to have some type of an expectation to know whether you're meeting that expectation, exceeding that expectation, or falling short of that expectation, I guess. I mentioned I'm going to play golf this afternoon. There's a scorecard that I'll get when I get there that tells me how many shots I'm supposed to take. That tells me if I did well or not. So yeah, you've got to have those metrics. You use this term all the time. You're always talking about levers, knowing which levers you can pull and knowing how to pull them. What are some examples of levers? Because that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different businesses, I suppose. But whether it's specific to your business or clients' businesses, what are some examples of what that means? in action, I guess.
So it, just keeping the same scenario, the levers that you have are pricing. If you have price control, that's a lever. Some people don't have price control, right? They have to keep their prices in line with their competitors. Otherwise, they go from, fully use, full everybody coming in the door like the normal to nobody coming in the door at all, right? But it's still a lever. The question is, how well does that lever work? And price control is one of the many,
It's a
pretty
lever.
much
The question
universal.
is, should you push that? But it's a button. You just should you push it or not? That's a whole different question, right?
Well, again, the idea is understand what the levers are and understand what happens when you pull on them or push on them, right? And the price lever is a lever. It's got good attributes. It's got tough attributes. There are times when strategically you might want to, pull on that lever a little harder. And there are times when you may want to back off on that lever, right? Because it's your customers have all of a sudden become extremely price sensitive. So that would be one where you go a different direction. You have marketing levers. You have ideological placement levers. That's a form of marketing, positioning levers. How you present yourself to the outside world and to your customers, and how they honestly feel about you. And do they trust you? Do they not trust you? Do they just believe you're in it for the buck? Do they believe you're in it for them? What do they believe? Those are all positioning concepts, and they are really marketing concepts. And what levers do you pull on those? And how much do you work that or not work that? How clear are you in the narrative? Those are the ideas of levers. And then financially, do we have access to more resources? Is this the time we make an investment? Is this a time we eat that inflationary cost bump? And that we're basically making an investment. And what are we making an investment in? We're making an investment in our customers in the hopes that they realize that we are doing this for them. And they come back to us next time and say grateful that we did the right thing on their behalf. Everyone, it's just a lever. It's just a way of looking at what you have and the tools you have at your disposal. And if you don't, if you don't have financial resources, that means you have to borrow them, right? And if you really can't borrow them, then that's not a lever you have in your toolkit. You're gonna have to go find a different something on the dashboard that you can manage. Because wasting your time on managing stuff that you have no control over, then you're just wasting time.
Yeah, and when you say lever, a very similar word to that, and where it's derived from is leverage, or which I guess leverage is derived from lever. If you don't, it's understanding whether or not you have a whole lot of leverage in this particular area of your business. Labor costs can be an example of that, right? If
Right.
you're working, if the majority of your labor is from unskilled workers, where there is an abundance of unskilled workers in your area or in your market of potential candidates, then you have leverage with your employees. If you happen to be in a position where unskilled workers are your labor force, but there's a shortage of unskilled workers in your available market,
And you
then
still
you
want
don't
to
have
keep the ones you
leverage.
got.
Right. And the same can be said for skilled workers or across the board. So it's understanding objectively, I guess, do you have the pull, I guess, or the do you have the upper hand in this particular part of your business, or are you kind of at the mercy of other forces? And as you're talking about knowing what the levers are and do you push when to push them, when not to push them, this probably has absolutely nothing to do with the show, but I like to interject anecdotal analogies where I can. All I can think of is the movie Men in Black, where he says early on in the movie, never touch the red button. And then later in the movie, he says, okay, remember I said never touch the red button? Well, now touch the red button. And then you see why you never touch the red button, because it makes the car go completely berserk. But there's a time and place for that. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. But don't push it at the wrong time and make sure you know what you're doing with it. There's a lot of examples of I said before, I don't really want to just use my business as an example, but to use my business and two other businesses hypothetically as sort of a comparison, in my business, inflation doesn't necessarily matter. My clients, if my I don't have a whole lot of costs, And if my costs go up 5% and I come back to my clients and say, I'm going to increase your cost 5%, they're going to say, what's the point of it? It's going to just make them mad. It's just going to annoy them. It's not that they can't afford it. They're
Yeah,
just going to be annoyed by it. It's going to rub them the wrong way. And at the same, I mean, what is 5%? So if I charge $4,000 a year for a particular service and I want to come back and say, now it's 4,200, it's not that they don't have the 200. They're just annoyed that I was being greedy asking for it, right? But if you run a fast food chain or you run a restaurant, your margins are pretty tight. If your costs go up 5% and you don't increase it, that may be your entire profit margin. So you don't have a choice but to do that. And then a middle ground business, I mean, I think of construction is another area where they tend to have higher margins than the restaurant industry, but they do have a significant amount of costs and this, you know, labor costs, material costs, and fuel costs. And if they don't increase those margins, it's, or if they don't pass some of that along to the consumer in some way, then it's going to at least cut into their profit margin, if not eliminate it. So that's just, again, a few examples, I guess, of
Exactly.
the different ways it can play into it.
We have not even started to talk about secondary effects of inflation, right? Because inflation affects the economy, and the economy, it
Let me
can
interrupt you
affect the
there,
consumer.
actually. Before we do that, I want to ask you a question, a follow-up question to
Okay.
the first part. So when you talk about, so margins play a huge role in kind of answering some of these questions. Do you have a rule of thumb of in this profit margin range, you don't have a whole lot of control over certain factors. In this range, you do. Do you have a rule of thumb or anything that you can go off of to say, okay, these are your low margin businesses and how you handle those versus another?
I mean, there's some general guidelines, but no rules of thumb, because I know some high margin businesses where their customers are price elastic, and they don't really, if you increase your fees, and especially depending on the narrative you use around raising those fees, the customer isn't going to know that it's because you had higher costs. They're just, I mean, so you, there are ones where they're price elastic. There are price ones where they are price inelastic. Part of it is how you frame it. I think the more rule of thumb is, if you are in a super thin margin, the degree to which you can absorb cost increase is significantly reduced, at least without being conscientious and strategic about how you're going to do that if you are going to not pass them along, right? So it's one of the reasons in your scenario or your analogy was your customers will look at you and go like, why? You mean you don't you make enough money off me? Aren't you paid well enough for the time and energy or that you're putting into this? And that's a different relationship than it. But somebody goes into a fast food restaurant, they're going to go, aren't you paid enough? Well, the answer is no, I'm not paid enough, because that hamburger you're eating right there, that actually cost me $9, including my labor costs and rent. And you're only paying $8.50 for it, right? Because you just basically inflation just wiped out all of my margins on it. I'm sorry. And I think the understanding that the customer has, their expectation of how much you're making may not be real, by the way, but
Right.
their understanding and expectation of what your profit margins are does affect that calculus. But if you're in a thin margin business, you'd have to acknowledge that a 5% increase in costs could, and that's part of understanding the lever, right? What would a 5% increase in cost mean to your bottom line? Does it mean no profit at all this year? Or does it mean you're cutting into the cushion? Or something else, or it means you're losing money this year if you don't do anything. You can eat it, but if you eat that cost increase and you don't pass it along, that means you are now in negative territory. And how long can you sustain that?
Yeah. So you were starting to mention this a minute ago, but these are just sort of the starting points, right? The inflation also has implications for the economy, which then has secondary and third degree implications also for business owners. So what are some of those effects and factors?
Well, inflation affects interest rates. partly because interest rates respond to, at least at the federal level, respond to inflation. Interest rate, if there's higher inflation and costs are increasing, businesses are struggling. So we may actually see more of a flight to safety and a higher cost of the risk. So marginal businesses may find it more difficult to borrow. So there for them, the interest rates go up because the risk factor. So yield spreads can increase substantially. And so while the safe end, the treasury end of the curve may stay pretty flat, the higher risk portion of that curve starts to get very, very expensive. And cost of money, that there's your leverage, right? That is true leverage. Cost of money affects everything. And if it costs you twice as much to borrow that same $100,000 to do whatever it is you need to do to get through this hard time, that is a that's almost its own inflation, right? To you as a business owner and manager. So that one's huge. Inflation affects purchasing power, which affects consumer desire. Sometimes inflation, because it's happening, actually pushes consumerism forward, right? Because they were going to buy it now because it'll be cheaper than having to buy it later. So for them, the positive effect of saving and buying it later is wiped out because inflation is the cost of holding that money and not purchasing today. So that can bring some things forward, but eventually the consumer gets exhausted. So what does that path look like, and how would that affect overall the economy? And oftentimes that's what we see as well. We see inflation, which leads to a form of stagflation or a worsening economy, which then is sort of creates its own death spiral. And it goes like that for a while until something really breaks, and then things can reset, and either inflation comes down or the economy at least re gets to a place where it bottoms out. But that can be a long way down.
Yeah, and there's such a compounding effect on in both directions on all of these
Oh, yeah.
factors too, right? Because you're talking about cost of capital, but another maybe potentially bigger factor is availability of capital, right? And as you were saying that, I was thinking availability of capital, and then I start thinking about it, it's like, well, when you have a lot of leverage and you have fat profit margins and everything in your business is running well, you're going to have you're going to have more capital available to you than you probably need at ridiculously cheap prices. But once a domino falls against you and you've now squeezed your margins, now not only is the availability of capital restricted, but now the cost of that less available capital is going against you as well. And now you have even less leverage in the other factor. And it's such a compounding effect. And it goes the other direction as well. When you get some wood on the ball and you make the right decisions and things fall your way, guess what happens? You have more capital available to you at a lower cost, and you have more people wanting to work for you for less money, and your customers want to pay more money for your products and services. And it's very sensitive, and you have to stay maybe 2 or 3 degrees ahead of it.
And that is one of the big reasons that I'm a huge proponent for sitting down, looking at the whole picture, and trying to understand if this happens, what does that mean? What are the first order effects, second order effects, even third order effects? Timing of those various order effects. Gosh, I remember so many times with my own businesses over the last 30 years is like having those moments where I'm sitting there going, banks are trying to throw money at me, trying to get me to buy or invest in things. I'm not finding anything I really want to buy or invest in. The money is cheap, but I don't really need it. And then, fast forward 9 months, a year and a half, 2 years, and I'm in a place where I really need capital and there's none available. And whatever capital is available comes with cinder block rates. Cinder block meaning if I don't pay it, that's what they're going to tie to my feet. And right. And I just, it is a feast or famine thing. And I think it's the hardest thing for business owners to really wrap their head around the whole financial machine that backs them up. Because when things are good, you just don't worry about it. Things are great, right? And you're not thinking about, well, What if things weren't great? Is there something I can do now? And that's the best time, by the way, to be doing all this planning, which is when things are great. But then you've been, oh, I've sweated my tail off for 3 years. I just want to take a break and enjoy it. It's wonderful. So then you don't do the planning then either.
Well, we to viewers and listeners, we do not rehearse this at all, but you are an absolute expert. I don't even think you do it on purpose at segueing into the close where I can say, and if you need to talk to someone to help you strategize with this, you may reach John at altuswealth.com. You kind of, I don't know if you practice that, but you're getting pretty good at it. About every show, you throw in a little tiny, you tee me up to say, and if you do need to talk to somebody, you can reach John at altuswealth.com. John is, he knows his stuff, and he works with a lot of business owners to help them navigate these issues and understand what those levers are, how to pull them, when to pull them, when to stay away from them, what red buttons don't need to be pushed until the right time.
Until the right time.
Until the right time. Yeah, exactly. So if and that's why we do the show. So if folks that are out there who may listen and think, yeah, this is cool stuff, but I don't know what these levers are, and I don't what okay, where do I buy a book to read and learn about this stuff? Well, John is available as a great resource to help you navigate that. So again, altuswealth.com, ALTUS wealth.com. John, any closing remarks before we head out?
No, as always, try to be thinking and getting ahead of the curve long before the curve gets there, right? It's just it makes life a lot easier to enjoy, even in slightly rougher times or even really rough times. It's I can't stress that enough.
Well, I'm going to close with my own little shameless plug. I forget to shamelessly plug myself sometimes. If you're watching on YouTube, please like, subscribe, comment, do all that kind of stuff to help the YouTube algorithms make us more popular and send us out to more people. And if you're listening to the podcast on whatever the various platforms that we're on, follow us, rate us a 5-star, whatever you do there. But I don't want to forget to say, hey, if you like us, and help spread the word. So appreciate it as always, John. We'll see you in a couple of weeks, and hope
My
you have a great
pleasure.
rest of your day.
Thank you, man.
See ya.